This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our next guest is a hip-hop head of note, with a name that has a bit of a criminal element to it. However, she's really quite a sweetie. She's even worked for a Christian radio station. Hallelujah. As with many others in the media and music fields, she's not quite what she might appear to be, and is actually even more. Please give a wow welcome to Madame Loot Love. What's up, doll?
Hallelujah indeed. How you doing, Rich?
You are looking amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So why did you decide on that hairstyle while we're here?
I just wanted the short hair back. I'm tired. Yeah. I grew my hair out for a bit. I had an afro. And I was like, I'm not doing this. This is just too much work. Lots of maintenance between myself and my girls. It's just, it's a lot. So I'm in a new season, so I figured let me cut my hair again. And now, yeah.
Also, they must learn. They must remember who the hell you are.
You know what I mean?
They must walk into the room and they're like, oh, yeah, hell yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. Yeah.
Raising twins 101. What, pray?
Yeah, start your day with prayer. Have lots of tequila on deck.
Yeah.
You might want to have a shot at 9 a.m.
I was going to say for yourself, not for them.
Yeah, no, for yourself.
Yeah.
But also just welcome chaos in your life.
Yes.
Welcome complete chaos. Breaking up fights every 10 minutes. But also like just the most amazing relationship and love, and the purest form of love actually in your life. Yeah.
What are you learning yourself on this motherhood journey, especially because it's two people?
Yes.
The hip and hop, as they've been called before.
They're now R&B, but...
Oh, they are R&B now.
You know what I mean? Yes. We're in a new era. What am I learning about myself? That I'm stronger than I thought I was. I have stretched in unimaginable ways over the last five years. I'm actually superhuman. Because I literally don't understand how we get through each day.
Sure.
At times, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually more patient than I thought I was.
Sure.
And I'm learning that I'm quite feisty.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Very opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I argue with myself or two versions of myself every single day.
Sure.
And then I'm also quite sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, I've got a big heart. I'm a big lover.
But you're also raising two little people who are now at a stage where they also have attitude.
Exactly.
They also have opinions.
And that's why I'm like, oh, so this is who I am.
They know what they don't want to wear today.
Literally.
They know what they don't want to eat.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, me growing up, you eat what your mom has made, or you're not eating the whole day, basically.
And there's none of that in this time. When she says she doesn't want broccoli, then there's nothing you can do. You have to negotiate. You
Absolutely.
Have to try to trick her into it.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work, most of the time I just say, okay, cool, well, what do you want to eat?
Sure.
Then it's a peanut butter sandwich. Cool, that's what we're having for dinner. I'm not doing this with you.
Yeah.
I've done this with you all day. I'm done. Do you want chips for dinner? Cool, yeah. Knickknacks, no problem. Let's do it.
Yeah, you win.
As long as you're happy.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to bed. We'll be okay.
In fact, you know what? Let's go to Disney World right now, if that's what you want. You know?
No, but... No. Still across the mom.
Would you say how you've learned to negotiate with two little people put you in an advantage renegotiating a radio contract? Because often radio managers behave like five-year-olds.
Well, that's a bit intense.
Okay.
I just got here. I just got back. I don't want drama, okay? I just arrived. You've done this, you know, you've done this. I just got here.
Yeah.
It definitely has put me in a better place to negotiate with people.
Mm-hmm.
I really have more patience with people. I'm
sure.
More empathetic. I understand people more. I'm not as reactive as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I also just don't feel like I need to constantly fight for people to hear me or validate me.
Mm-hmm.
I know my value, and if something doesn't make sense, I'm really okay with saying no.
Sure.
So in a sense, it did, you know, because I've been in a place where I had an offer the year before and it didn't fit.
Sure.
It didn't make sense.
Sure.
And I wasn't scared to say no.
Mm.
You know, I should have said yes, you know, because, you know, the economy is the economy.
I was going to say it's a year later.
But at that time, I literally was like, this doesn't fit. This doesn't make sense.
Sure.
And so I'm going to say thank you for reaching out, but this is not for me. Maybe we'll try again another time. And they did, actually.
Because I sometimes, when I'm having a disagreement with a person or people, often remind myself that majority of us are actually just still children that learn to behave in public.
Yeah, we're all essentially kind of like toddlers.
And that's how you must sometimes treat people.
Exactly.
But you must remember that this is a petulant adult.
Yeah.
Because there's still a child there that wants things that way.
100%. And also just give someone the grace to be themselves, to feel the emotions that they feel, to be upset, to throw a tantrum, but also give yourself the grace to stand up for yourself as well in the same breath.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, one thing about children, they'll help you just tone it down, humble you a little, a lot, actually. Yeah. I get humbled every day, mostly in the first 10 minutes of waking up. There's nothing like a morning routine to just sort you out, just negotiating, brushing teeth, outfits, having breakfast, getting out the house, hair, just wow.
You know what I appreciate about the parenting routine, especially in the morning, for me personally, is it's almost like you know the tasks that you need to get done.
Yeah.
And then you need to get into the routine of those tasks.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get into the discipline. Because there are days where even as a parent, I don't want to do this today.
Literally.
I don't want to wake
up.
I don't want to cook for these little people. In fact, I love them, but I think they're horrible human beings. there's all of that you deal with as a parent.
Yeah.
But what I'm finding, though, is the discipline of creating routine for your kids also disciplines you.
100%.
And you're then able to do more.
Yeah.
And be more disciplined.
Because you learn the art of showing up.
Absolutely.
Whether you want to or not, whether you're in the mood or not.
Yeah.
And it really goes into the rest of your life, your work life, I guess, in some cases, your love life. But just that learning how to wake up when you don't want to will change your whole life.
Absolutely.
It really will.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to learn now how to wake up much earlier so that I have time alone.
Yes.
So I'm trying to get into a place where I wake up at 5 a.m. so that I just center before they wake up at 6, because I'm not a morning person. I'm just like, I'm horrible. I'm not trying to talk to anyone before like 12 noon, but I've got kids, so that won't work.
Trust me, it'll change your life.
Yeah.
Because I'm at gym at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's me time.
Yes.
And I don't have to worry about who doesn't want what for breakfast.
Literally.
You know what I mean?
It's the best,
And the thing is also because with co-parenting, when they're over at your place, it's your load that you have to deal with. But you also have to be selfish about, I still need my me time.
Even if it means my me time
is when they're asleep.
Yes, you definitely need your me time. Yeah. If there's a thing that every parent should have is time away, silence.
Quiet time.
If they are like sitting alone, sitting watching a movie and you sit in a different room and they don't disturb you in that time, if you can find it, do it. It'll literally keep you sane.
And have them understand that this is my quiet time.
Yeah.
Unless the house is burning.
Yes.
And if you've burnt it, then you'll have hell to pay. But unless the house is burning, don't.
I'm trying to teach my girls about a mommy moment. They don't care yet,
though.
They're just like, okay.
What about
they think like,
moment?
Okay, mommy moment. 2 seconds later, mommy, this is what we need. I'm like, baby, mommy's having her mommy moment. And they're like, okay. Okay, so can I? And I'm like, babies, please, I need that. But they're still young, so it's okay. They'll get into the routine. But it's very important to have your time alone as a parent. It really, really is.
Sure. Now, you've been thrust literally back into our faces.
Into the thick of things.
Going into, you know, mainstream primetime radio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from being away for a while.
Yeah.
Surely it comes with some sort of anxiety.
A lot of anxiety. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overstimulated because I've been, you know, safe in my safe space, kind of isolated from everyone, perfectly okay.
Cocooned.
With the pace of my life, right? Yeah. And now I'm back into it. I'm having conversations. I'm actually relearning how to do interviews.
Sure.
I'm in my head a lot about it.
Mm.
But I'm also quite an expressive person, and I know the systems I need to kind of like survive. So, you know, I'll journal a lot. I cried it out last night because I just felt like, whoa, this feels very big.
It is big.
Yeah. And knowing what I know and the experience that I have, how crazy and chaotic and how quickly things can change. I kind of also have my own little fears of like, I want to get this right this time. Not that I didn't get it right the last time, but you know,
What's your biggest fear right now? In fact, what triggered the tears last night?
What triggered the tears is, I think a big part of it was, first of all, I have a second chance at this. And that in itself is a big deal, because we know how the industry is, right? Once you go quiet for long enough, it can be forever.
In fact, majority of people will never even get the first chance.
Exactly.
You're getting a second.
I'm getting a second chance. Yeah. And so that was the first thing. The second thing was, you know, I really want to make sure that I balance this out with my girls.
Sure.
You know, it's very important to me that they don't feel like they're losing their mom in this new wave. I really want to take them with me and have them enjoy this with me and experience it with me. Mm. I mean, the beginning is going to be a bit difficult already, you know, the separation anxiety. It's, mommy, you're at work again. What do you mean? Mm. You have to do this and you have to do that. They don't really understand the concept. But also, I just do not want to lose myself again. Mm. You know, you lose yourself in this industry. Sure. You know, everybody else is making decisions for you for the first, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years. They're pulling you in different directions. You may have a strategy, you may have a team, but everything rests on everyone else. You kind of just, you're this package that they put in a shelf and sell to everyone. So it's really important to me this time around to not get so lost in it that I lose my sense of Luthando.
You say you don't want to get lost in it again.
Mm-hmm.
How badly did you get lost in it previously?
I mean, so badly. I'm an R&B girl now. I'm just give it like all the slow stuff. And you know what? It was just part of my journey. Mm. It was just part of my growth. I mean, I actually actively made a decision to just switch everything off.
Sure.
At the time, I didn't know why I was doing it. It didn't really make sense. I just felt like it's too much. There's too much noise. There's too much happening around me. I'm not in control. I don't know who I am. I can't tell you what I like, what I don't like. This is just too much for me. And fortunately for me, that flip happened when I just had kids. So I kind of had an excuse and a way to disappear. I was just like, no, I'm learning how to be a mom. Just give me some time. Mm. And then it just became, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore.
Sure.
I don't know if this is actually my path. I don't know if this is the journey I'm supposed to be on. But I also don't know what I want to do. So I just shut down. I shut down. It was wild. But it worked out. Yeah.
You say you could have come back to radio a year ago. And that in hindsight, maybe you should have because the economy is slow. How have you been putting food on the table?
How have I
been putting food on the table?
God's grace. Literally, God's grace.
Because our industry is thankless.
Yeah.
And often when you're on your own, you're on your own.
And I literally was. Yeah. I literally was. Like, between myself and the community around me, my friends, I cannot tell you how we got through each day. And last year was literally the worst part of it, where I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know what I'm going to do with my babies. But, you know, when God decides to sit you down and shows you that he's God, then, you know, I guess you learn that in moments of desperation, help will come. You'll get what you need. Not really what you want, but you'll get what you need to get you through.
Isn't it crazy how when the chips are down or you feel like there's certain things that are not making sense or that you need, like you say, it somehow works out.
It does.
It's the weirdest thing.
I think when you also surrender and you let go.
Yeah.
And you let go of the ideas that you have of what your life should look like, or I want to have this now. You just go back to basics. And you accept the position that you're in. I think that was the biggest part of it, is just accepting that my chips are down. I'm here now. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. At this moment, I can only pray. At this moment, I can only cry. At this moment, this is what I can do to distract my kids. This is the only thing we can have today. And then that's it. That's it. Once you get to that place of acceptance, I think you open yourself up to God's actual plan and not what you think you should be doing in your life.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you went to the design school of SA, right?
Yeah, but I didn't graduate.
May I finish my question?
Sorry.
For money reasons, you were not able to sit your final exams, right? And you had to go home. What stopped you going home this time?
I knew that if I go home, I'm not coming back. I knew that if I go home, I'm not coming back. And so I had to fight. this is literally the city of dreams. This is the place where everything happens. This is the place where, although in some seasons, you know, you can't call that one person to pull you through. As long as you're here, you have a fighting chance. The further away you are from Joburg, the harder it becomes, you know. And so I just had to trust. I just had to trust God. I felt crazy. I still feel crazy. But in a sense, it's actually working out. I mean, I had, like, no business saying no to a job last year. But I knew it wasn't the right job. It wasn't the right fit for me. So I guess to a certain extent, I was willing to go hungry in order to wait for the thing that I know is right. And that's a bit wild to say. But it really is. It was the best decision for me at the time.
It's wild to say, but it's also your story to tell and a position that you took. And I often find that turning down the fit that doesn't work for you often prepares you for an even more perfect fit.
Yeah.
Is what I found in my life.
Yeah.
That I've turned down like great opportunities.
Yeah.
And looked back and said, flip, maybe that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But a year later, you realize that actually, no, had I done this, that wouldn't have happened.
100%.
This door wouldn't have opened.
And sometimes, you know, desperation is dangerous. And we get desperate. We get very desperate. I mean, I'm a parent, so, you know, there's certain things I just can't afford to not do. But sometimes, again, if you're willing to go hungry, just to understand and learn your value, then the reward is greater.
Sure. Now, your manager and stylist are powerhouses in the industry. And both are capable. They hold their own. How do you pick your team? How do you pick who you surround yourself with?
So I, for the longest time, have kind of not really had a team, but I would work with people on the way. And with the person that I'm working with now, with Kels, we've worked together before. And I can't even explain how we got back together, but she is the one person that just gets it. It's the, also, you know, with the manager, you need somebody that you can be vulnerable with, that you can be open with, that you can be honest with, that you can trust, you know, to lead you in situations, who also won't shut you down. And she's just that person. She's a ride or die. She's a ride or die. And yeah, she's just the perfect fit for right now, especially with the things that I've learned about what I need.
And also, it doesn't help that a lot of managers, even A&Rs at record labels, you almost feel like they want to be you, or they want to be on the red carpet with you.
Yes.
Versus, I'm a ghost.
Yes.
No one should know me.
Yeah.
But they should know that I get shit done.
100%. It's very rare. It's very rare to find that. It's very rare to find somebody who is literally willing to fall back into the background. And I'm also just for, I want you to be amazing as well, right? On your own. I also want you to shine. I also want you to be amazing, to have other clients. But I also want to know that I'm your star. That you're willing to let me shine, and she definitely does that.
Yeah, I mustn't feel like I'm competing with the rest of the roster.
100%. 100%.
And I think managers that get the roster right get people that never have to compete for a single job.
Literally. But also, if you know what you want as well, as talent. A lot of the time as talent, we also don't know what we want. And so a manager can only do so much. They can't help you if you don't know what you want. So I definitely think now I know what I want, and I'm able to lead with her.
Now, I've known you for what, 14 years almost?
I think so.
And there's never a time I see you and you have a hair out of place. I've never seen you in a, I'm sure those are pajamas, Moomin. You know, with calamine lotion, wearing a gown and a towel wrapped around her waist. I mean, 2017, you won a style award.
Yeah.
Do you find you guys, as in women, under pressure to always step right, to always not have a hair out of place?
Always. Definitely. Definitely, especially as TV presenters, we always have to be on every day, all the time. But I think, you know, it depends on you. I mean, I'm definitely not gonna go buy bread with the full face beat. Like the guys with the guys in the shop.
But it also helps that you look good without a face beat also. So
yeah, but yeah. I also just think it's like a personality thing. Sure. What are you comfortable with? Mm. How secure are you in yourself, right? Mm. Like there's a lot of people who've seen me on my off day.
Sure.
But you know, you're not gonna see me in the way that people at home see me. Like, and my mom knows me. Do you know what I mean? My kids know me. My friends know me. And yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't have to put that version on, which I really, really appreciate. So you're quite selective about where you put it on and where you switch it on. Mm. But I, again, you know, I've been quite away from everyone, so I'm quite comfortable in all flute. I'm actually having to relearn now how to be presentable on lute. I'm like, eesh. This is a bit weird. Here I feel we so again. Strange. I'm a bit uncomfortable, but you know what? Here we go again.
How do you deal with and feel about the fact that, again, it's always women who are compared to one another? Mm. You hardly ever see it with men in the industry.
Yeah.
But with women, it's always, oh, she's hotter, or she does a better job, or she's got a nicer bum, or but her wigs suck, or this one has better wigs. I mean, the other day, there was a video of Tyler doing a pop-up at Mall of Africa.
Yes.
And then Jiggy Bonang is trending because someone is like, yeah, she's bigger than Bonang. I was like, but this has nothing to do with Bonang.
Literally, it doesn't. I think, unfortunately for us, it's just a thing that's always going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're always going to be compared with each other, put up against each other. But we, as women, you know, I think I show a lot of love and I appreciate a lot of women in the game.
Mm.
And if you're going to put me next to, like, an icon like Bonang, I'm going to take it because she's incredible. She's amazing. So if you're making that comparison, you're putting me in a really high pedestal, in a really beautiful place. At least that's how I see it. I would prefer people not to.
Sure.
But it's part of the conversation and it comes with the territory, right? Mm. Obviously, you don't want to pull Bonang into something she's not involved in, but that also speaks volumes about who she is to us, where we see her and her clout.
Yeah,
you know, even when she's minding her own business, doing her own thing, she's on the timeline, you know? So work with it, I guess. You don't like it, but it's just part of the game. You, as a kid, you're compared to everybody else. You know, it's not the best thing, but also, I guess, as women, we're doing enough to give a lot of people meat or something
to
know. No shade to the gents in the game. Y'all need to step up a bit.
Oh, I'm trying. Don't these colors bring out my eyes?
They do.
There's even a zip for
and I'm proud.
There's even a zip for no reason.
You know what I mean? That's
here.
Right. I see the nails as well, you know? See, I love that.
You must make an effort.
And that's the thing. Like, we want to see the gents step up too.
We must always just look like we're going to buy bread.
Please don't.
And then someone said, do you want to play a set quickly?
Please.
While you're out there.
Like, we show up looking like we walked off a runway and you guys in your soccer, I don't even know what.
And that's your plus one.
Yeah. Please try a little, just a little. But I think, you know, the gents are trying and we love to see it.
I want to take you back to when you're at the design school. And there's money issues, you can't write your exams, you have to go home. Take us through the emotions of that time in your life.
The biggest heartbreak of my life, I would say. I really, really loved what I was doing. I was studying interior design and it just felt like my whole world fell apart, you know. I just had no other plan outside of that. I didn't think of anything else. I just had one vision. This was it. I had a plan to, when I've graduated, move to New York for 3 years. After moving to New York, I was going to go to Dubai for 3 years. I had it all mapped out. And when I had to go back home, it just felt like, although it wasn't my fault, I just felt like I failed, you know? And I also had to sit and watch my friends graduate, which was very, very difficult. And fortunately for me, you know, I've got a very strong mother, a very strong mother. And she was just like, it's not the end.
Sure.
It's okay. This is not working out now. And it's unfortunate. But we're not just going to sit. So she was just like, come, let's apply. What are we doing? Let's do whatever. Go do promotions. Go do this. She was just literally like the engine fueling me and pushing me. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And I was, you know, very throwing my toys out my cot. Toddler, having a meltdown. And eventually, you know,
That's why the good Lord sent you two.
Yes. Literally.
Awesome. See what it feels like?
Literally. Yeah. And my mom literally just put me back together. And and made sure that I just stood tall and didn't just sit at home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you did Christian Radio, Kingfisher FM.
Yeah. Well, just time of my life.
I'm listening to rap
on my way to the station. I'm just like, you know, on my Lupe Fiasco, trying to.
Some bitches ain't shit.
Like, you know, it was such a crazy time because it is actually one of the promotion jobs that got me that job. So I was just literally serving drinks, and I happened to serve drinks to this one couple. I just offered them something to drink. I walked away, and then at the end of the night, he was like, "Hey, I work at Kingfisher FM. Would you please come and do a voice test?" I was like, "I have no idea what that is, but sure, I'll take your details." Went home, told my mom. My mom was like, "Yeah, I think it's a Christian radio station." I was like, "Christian? Nah, fam." She was just like, "Dude,
Christian hip hop most Christian."
She was just like, "Just go. You don't know where it could lead, and now we're here. Literally, now we're here." Shout out to my mom.
What were your biggest learnings at Kingfisher FM?
The art of radio.
Yeah.
That's the first thing, the art of radio. But also how you can actually, you don't have to stay in the environment that you enjoy, right? Sure. So you don't always have to be all hip-hop, all street, all cool. You know, you can be that, but also work and do well at a Christian radio station. You don't have to, like, confine yourself or put yourself in a box and stay there. And so that taught me a lot about, you know, living in two completely different worlds, right? So you go on air for, I mean, you can't swear in general when you're a broadcaster, but just being on air and changing that mindset and learning a different demographic, people who love God, who live God, who want to hear about God and Jesus 24/7, and the things that you learn as well, you know, about church and the people that you experience, and everything that I thought about people who are, and I don't want to be offensive, but like Jesus, team Jesus all day, just fell apart. Everyone was just normal, just like me, had their own things going on, but just absolutely loved Jesus and wanted to spread the word of God, which is also fine. I love that. But I got to learn how to do radio. I had a 6 to 9 show Monday to Friday, and I just got to learn people the art of not judging, actually, and just experiencing.
So typically at your most inspired by God and preachiest, typically what would a link by Loot Love on Kingfisher FM sound like? What would you talk about?
There was different things. I mean, if there was a show coming up, or if there was a song. Actually, the craziest thing that ever happened to me was having to pray for someone on air.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what to do, because I was like, I mean, I pray.
Yeah.
But not in this way. Sure. And you want me to pray for you right now.
Sure.
And someone just needed, I guess, help and support and love. And in that moment, I just thought, okay, well, I can't say I can't pray for you. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Exactly.
And so I prayed for them. And I think, I felt so uncomfortable in the beginning.
Yeah.
But at the end, you know, they stopped crying. They thanked me so much. I don't know what I stopped or saved in that moment, but I just thought, okay. So it's not always about who can quote the Bible, or who goes to church every single Sunday, but it's just about being there for someone in a moment of need. And so it's a version of healing that you don't really think about. I think, you know, the work that we do as broadcasters is healing. You are someone's friend. You are giving someone a solution. You are entertaining someone, making them happy in their lunch break. You're doing so much, but you don't realize that it's healing work. And I guess, yeah, that brought it into perspective. A link, I can't even remember what a link looked like, but it definitely going to a gospel song, from a sermon, talking about, like, this church event.
Did you ever, like, quote scriptures?
Oh, definitely. I was on Google. I was just like, okay, this is the verse of the day. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're unpacking. I can't do it now.
Yeah,
but definitely Google was my friend. Yeah.
Okay, so at least Tibo Touch is in good hands on Mondays.
Let me tell you about Touch. Touch has, I had no idea how deeply spiritual Touch was.
No, hey.
I had no idea.
He's from a family of pastors.
Yeah, fourth generation.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm my mind is blown.
Sure.
And I'm actually very grateful, because I think at this point in my life and with my relationship with God right now, I am very grateful to be in his presence, because I have so much to learn. Yeah.
But also, I always say, you can say all you want to say about Touch and his twang, If after spending just 5 minutes with Touch and you're not inspired,
yes,
then you're dead.
He is true. He is a vault of wisdom. Yeah. He is so wise. Yeah. Also, he just gives you information.
Yes.
You know, he's just always sharing and wanting to help you grow and giving you perspective. And it's so beautiful. And I think, you know, our show on Monday, or experiencing it, the replenishment.
Sure.
I was just like, Monday is my favorite day.
I'm home.
But this just took it up a notch. I love this. I want to start my day like this. This is amazing. This really, really is amazing. So I think we're going to have a beautiful year and years to come.
I think you guys are going to kick ass.
Yeah.
You guys are going to kick a lot of ass.
Yeah. No, we definitely are. He's incredible. I'm really excited to work with him. He's an amazing leader.
Sure.
So I'm excited.
You know, I say funny now, but never in the moment. Looking back at back then, your heart is broken. You can't write exams. You can't be an interior designer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move to New York for 3 years. You can't live in Dubai for 4 years. You can't be this interior designer you wanted to be. It was a rough patch that you went through.
Mm.
But you're here now.
Mm.
What would you like to say to that young lady back there? Because your plans were your plans, but clearly God had other plans for you.
Just the first thing I'd say is cry your heart out. It's okay. Because I was not a crier. Just too thug to cry. I'm too cool. I don't cry.
Yeah,
first, cry your heart out. And then the second thing is trust your intuition.
Mm.
Trust your intuition. Trust God. You are okay and you are loved.
Mm.
When you're 35, you'll know exactly why you had to experience everything that you did.
Mm.
Yeah. And also, I know you don't want kids, but you're going to have two.
At the same time.
At the same. That's how much God is like, you are doing this. I don't care what your plans are. I'm going to give you two at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God does have a sense of humor. I mean, you started at a Christian radio station.
Literally.
And now you're with Touch.
Literally. I think if there's a thing that is always consistent is that I always go back to God. I always go back to the gospel. I always go back to church in various forms. I always go back to spirit, no matter what the season is.
Mm.
And I think the thing about it now that I want to learn is to not go back only when it's falling apart.
Mm.
To not only be in that place when everything is quiet.
Mm.
To always be in that place. To always be in spirit with God, in prayer, whether up or down. To just be consistent in that space.
Mm.
That's the part that I want to master right now.
Mm. You lost your brother, Lukanyiso, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What conversations would you be having about your career right now?
With him?
Mm.
Who?
And the stage you're at in your life, this new season that you refer to.
Sure. I think the first thing I'd want to say to him, well, I speak to him anyway because, you know, I'm obviously out of my mind.
Sure.
But I think the first thing I would want to say is...
Or you're in your mind, which is actually what we need to be in our minds often than not.
Yeah. I think the first thing I'd say is I finally stopped being scared, dog. Mm. Like I stopped worrying about what everybody thinks.
Sure.
I stopped being scared. I really do still wish he was here, though.
Mm.
I wish he was here. I know he can see it.
Sure.
But I wish he could physically see it. I'd say to him, I got on Apple Radio, dog. We're South African. What you mean? And then I still went back to Metro.
Absolutely.
No beef. But and I know he's proud.
Mm.
I would want him to know that I fell 7 times, but I got up 8.
Mm.
And that is one thing I always wanted him to know, is that no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how uncomfortable it gets, no matter how confusing life gets, you're always going to get back up.
Mm.
I did it my way. I don't think I've moved through the industry like everybody else.
Mm.
I think also my journey has taken longer because I've just had different lessons to learn.
Sure.
But I am here because I deserve to be here, because I've worked to be here. And now I understand that I'm holding my own in a very interesting way. I think for the longest time I wasn't sure. I wasn't really sure of my place here. I didn't think I deserved to be here.
Sure.
Now I know for sure that I deserve to be here. Now I know for sure that I have a part to play. Now I know for sure that this is also part of my journey as a healer.
And I think one thing you must never underestimate your impact. Because often it's your impact that shows up for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a second chance, mm-hmm. or a third chance, mm-hmm. or you get to get up an eighth time. And for us tall people, getting up is work or it. When we fall,
it's a lot of work.
Just get up, for us tall people is work. And that's why I often preach that whatever you do, have impact.
Yeah.
Because that impact will get you your next gig.
Yeah, and I think...
That impact will get you a gig 3 years later when you don't have a gig.
Literally. You know, you want to have impact, and sometimes you don't know how.
Yes.
You're going to make that impact. You just, you know, you're waking up, you're just being you. This is how you choose to style yourself. This is what you want to sound like on air. This is the vision that you have that nobody else can see, and you can barely understand it, but you just feel that it's right. So sometimes you don't know, you don't see it, and so you get out of it. And I mean, I think with me, I'm only starting to really see now.
Yes.
But also because I really had to take myself out of... a lot of the time I wanted the validation from everyone in the industry.
Oh yes.
I wanted the props. I wanted the, you know, the awards. I want you to, you know, tell me how good I am.
Yeah.
And then I stepped away and I realized that that's not how it works.
Sure.
My validation comes from God.
Mm.
My validation comes from my ancestors. My validation comes from my kids. My validation comes from the people that see me on a normal day and I don't have to put anything on for, right? So that's where I fill my cup so that I can pour into the space and work. So now that I understand that, I'm just like, okay, right. Now I know how to move and now I know what to do. And with that impact, I'm just happy it's there, but... On an ego level,
sure.
It's okay. I've done it. I've proved my point. Now let's just move on and do the next thing. It's okay. I don't have to hold it over my head and be like, oh, this is what you did. This is who you were. Yeah, yeah. Give your props. Give yourself props every day. I'm just ready for the next thing now.
Last year was a rough year for you, like you said. But you're also mourning the loss of your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go for strength?
I prayed. I definitely prayed. You know, God is hilarious. So we obviously had lockdown and we got shut down. And I got to spend lockdown with my brother, and I didn't know that that was the last year that I'm spending with him naturally. But it was also the first year of my girl's life. So it was quite something. He passed on a year and they turned one. Yeah, when they turned one, he left us. And between God and the girls, that's where my strength is. I feel like God gave me those girls because he knew if I didn't have them, I wouldn't have survived losing my brother. So my strength literally came from being with them, mourning with them, keeping them alive. Because you really can't just shut down, you know?
I was going to say, little people give you purpose.
Yeah. I had support. I had an amazing, amazing nanny. She was really riding with us. She was down with us. My mom was there. And my friends were also there.
Sure.
Between God and my girls, that's just literally where it all came from. And I also just felt like I have to do everything I said I would do when he was here, now that he's not here.
We're running out of time, but before we let you go, please tell us your relationship with the book, The Alchemist.
I think that was my first introduction to, I guess, everything outside of what we're taught about God and spirituality. That book, actually, between my mom, my brother, and I, is a very, very, very important book. And just opening your mind up into, I guess, how you think about life, how you see yourself, the things that you trust, your intuition, the omens that you see, listening to nature, to seeing the signs around you. It's a very important book. I'll always go back to it. I mean, I left it with my brother. But, yeah, it was the first, I guess, book to introduce me to a life outside of what we've been taught in church, what we've been taught about God, and the first book to make me question a lot of things about, you know, intuition, feeling, understanding, seeing.
Purpose.
Yeah, and purpose.
No, I ask you about it because it's close to my heart. Because when it came out, I think I was about 13, 14. And I remember seeing it at our school library.
Yeah.
And reading it literally changed the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It changed the rest of my life, how I perceive myself,
mm-hmm.
how I perceive the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
and how I show up in the world.
Exactly.
And I don't think I'd be the man I am now had I not read that book back then.
Yeah. But, you know, nothing is a coincidence. You're always at the right place at the right time. And I guess, yeah, I needed that introduction because look at my life now. The things I've had to walk through, the things I've had to survive, the places, the rooms I've been in. It's actually been quite beautiful, I think. As crazy as it was, it's been beautiful.
You had to go through it.
Yeah.
To also understand that you can go through it.
Yeah, and thank God I grew through it.
Yeah.
Because I also could have chosen to just stay.
Yeah.
You know, a victim, stay.
Woe is
in
me.
Whatever. Yeah, just fall apart all the time, be depressed.
God
and.
Hates me.
Yeah, but I chose the work.
Absolutely. And good work you do. That's good. Why you're back.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's back, bitches. Last word to your fans, your supporters, people that have loved your work.
Thank you for always being so kind and loving. And thank you for being patient with me and giving me the space to go away and just welcoming me with open arms. I'm looking forward to this ride with you guys. I think it's going to be nice.
Suggestion? And it will help you deal with the separation anxiety with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Have a 5-minute feature with the girls on the radio show. That way, then you're with them at work.
Yeah, I think,
They might as well start their media journey now.
Yeah.
Use it, don't use it.
Yeah, I mean, they've already started at home. I've got a little DJ in the house.
Absolutely.
Every time I come home with those headphones, they are busy. They're talking on a mic and
I think integrate them into the radio show. You'll thank me later.
I'll definitely do that.
I want to look back in 5 years when they're turning 10 and say, we watched you guys grow on the radio.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful about watching someone blossom into this personality.
Yes.
There was a child
Absolutely.
When you first saw them.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to do that.
There's an opportunity right there.
I'm definitely going to do that. They're going to love that.
Lute, thank you so much for hanging out with
us. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for your resilience, your strength, for being the strong, inspiring, unrelenting woman that you are.
Thank you very much.
God-loving, God-fearing.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
And who understands who the hell she is? Never forget who the hell you are.
You can't touch me now. Now. Shoo.
Hammer time. Ladies and gentlemen, Lute Love is about to leave the building. Easter is done with and autumn is here, which means a certain government utility might bring a bit of darkness back into our lives, despite assuring us it won't. However, just because there might be less light doesn't mean you should lose yours completely. So wishing you a bright outlook, warm vibes, and a wow week ahead. Shout out to Amp Studios, that's where we do our show from. Africa Podcast Network, thanks for having us. Pezulu Works, cinematography, we love your work. Artist The Flow Fraser for all of the imaging. Our guest, Lute Love. Shout out to our creative producer, Kuvesh Mohan, and our show producer, Kelezo Modisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great week in spite of yourselves.